From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Christ, who is our life. Paul's marvelously rich expression indicates that Christ is the source of our life. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The same voice which brought Lazarus out of the tomb raised us to newness of life. He is now the substance of our spiritual life. It is by his life that we live. He is in us, the hope of glory, the spring of our actions, the central thought which moves every other thought. Christ is the sustenance of our life. What can the Christian feed upon but Jesus' flesh and blood? This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. O wayworn pilgrims in this wilderness of sin, you never get a morsel to satisfy the hunger of your spirits, except you find it in him. Christ is the solace of our life. All our true joys come from him. And in times of trouble, his presence is our consolation. There is nothing worth living for but him, and his loving kindness is better than life. Christ is the object of our life. As speeds the ship towards the port, so hastes the believer towards the haven of his Savior's bosom. As flies the arrow to its goal, so flies the Christian towards the perfecting of his fellowship with Christ Jesus. As the soldier fights for his captain and is crowned in his captain's victory, so the believer contends for Christ and gets his triumph out of the triumphs of his master. For him to live is Christ. Christ is the exemplar of our life. Where there is the same life within, there will, there must be, to a great extent, the same developments without. And if we live in near fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we shall grow like him. We shall set him before us as our divine copy, and we shall seek to tread in his footsteps until he shall become the crown of our life in glory. Oh, how safe, how honored, how happy is the Christian, since Christ is our life.
Today.
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures, and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As he continues his series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled Laboring to Produce Fully Mature Christians. The text is found in chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, where we find Paul's summary of the gospel ministry. He says of Christ, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." The essence of Paul's ministry was setting forth Christ. Dr. Cairns has been explaining the components of Paul's method. The first and most important element is preaching. A true preaching ministry also includes warning and then teaching. We've seen Paul's motivation in his preaching. His aim was to bring believers to perfection, that is, to maturity in the things of the Lord. Finally, Dr. Cairn sets forth Paul's means in his ministry. He said, "I labor," which is the human element. The most important element, however, was that God was working, for Paul was living in the power of the gospel, and Christ was working in him and by him. This can and should be true for every mature Christian. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
As I told the church at prayer meeting, I was talking to a man in my study the other day who came by to tell me of how listening to radio sermons on WMUU at 5:40 a.m., driving his truck, and then getting tapes from the church and listening to those and coming under conviction of sin, getting out of his truck and getting by the side of the road to cry to God for forgiveness and for God's grace and for Christ to come and indwell his heart. That's a wonderful thing to hear. It's a wonderful thing to see. A new Christian. But I'll tell you what's not wonderful. When the babies should have proceeded to adolescence, and the adolescent should have proceeding on to adulthood, but they haven't, that is not good to see. And here's the tragedy that Paul is seeking to avert in the Colossian church, and men and women, we must seek to avert it in our church. And that is having 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70-year-old spiritual babies. People who have never grown in grace, never grown in faith, never grown in their understanding of the gospel. What a tragedy that is. We're here on Mother's Day. Every mother knows here, when you bring that baby into the world, you watch it like a hawk. If it's not growing the way you think it ought to grow, you're scared. If there's something doesn't seem to be working as you think it ought to be working, you're scared. You're away to the physician immediately. What's happening here? Is there anything we can do about it? And when you're told there's nothing we can do about it, this baby will remain a baby to the day he dies. It's one of the greatest heartbreaks a mother or a father can ever have. Spiritually, it's just the same. Paul says, "I'm laboring, brethren, to see you become fully mature." He instructed the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:20, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." You see, and this is the difference between the spiritual and the physical world. That little baby's born with something wrong, and the body or the brain will not develop. There's not a thing in the world that the child can do about it. But for the most part, in almost every case, immature Christians remain immature. They remain babes by willful, carnal action. That's why when writing to the Corinthians, Paul equates babiness and carnality. They go together. In other words, what I'm telling you is this: you may be a fully mature Christian. There's nothing in this world to stop you being a fully mature Christian if you are a Christian at all. There's nothing to stop you being a fully mature Christian except carnality. And that brings us back to the warning. Oh, be warned. There are great issues at stake here. I don't want to get off on a tangent and spend too much time on the illustrations. But over the years, I've dealt with people who, for their own reasons, did not go through with God. Then they rear their own children. And when the children start showing signs, worrying signs, of wickedness or worldliness, then the parents want to command holiness. Can't do it, you know. You can't do it. And I've often marveled that people who in their own lives have been living in carnality wonder why their children also follow suit. Let me tell you, there are huge consequences to carnality. You may be saved by the skin of your teeth, because you're not saved by how well you perform. You're saved by the absolute righteousness and merit of Christ. But it's not for nothing, Paul says, I am striving that you may become fully mature. There's a lot riding on it. Young people, make sure you will take the words of the psalmist. What shall I render unto the Lord? Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Go through with God. And if there's anything or anybody standing between you and fully obeying the Lord, then get rid of that thing. Avoid like the plague anything that is standing between you and going through with God. Paul says, that's what I'm laboring for. The means. How does it come about? Twofold on a human level, he says, I labor. And the word labor here is a word that denotes toil, trouble, and even grief. And the work of God will never make progress without preachers who labor in the gospel. Labor and laborers. But on a higher level, the true means must always be divine. Notice what Paul says. He knew that these Christians, this type of Christian, can't be produced by a human harangue. Young preachers sometimes make this mistake, and I've heard more experienced preachers, and they think you can scold people into being holy. Remember when I was growing up, there are times now the preacher needs to roast you. Believe me, there are times when he's got to deal with sin, and if it roasts people, then let it happen. But I remember growing up, a preacher would be ripping everybody apart. There'd be nobody this side of heaven who was walking right, and he'd be rip-snorting every direction. And we'd come out and say, man, that was a great meeting. Made us feel guilty, made us feel terrible. Must be a great meeting. Didn't do us any good, mind you. Didn't make any change. So it was only a fleshly thing. You see, I can't cajole you into being holy. I can't coax you into being holy. I can't force you into being holy. Paul realized that. He put forth all the effort and all the argumentation that he could, but he knew that effort and argument couldn't make spiritual people. That was something that could only be done by the power of God. That's why Paul never wasted a time spouting philosophical theory. Christ was in him, the hope of glory. But notice what he says, he's also in me working. If I could give the words of verse 29 their literal force, working in or by me in power. Paul was living in the power of the gospel. And there you've got something that has to be vital to any ministry. Remember Dr. Paisley hammering this into us when we were just young students? He used to challenge us personally about our prayer lives, challenge us about our walk with God as students, and say, remember this, a preacher will never be able to lift a congregation any higher than he has got himself. There's a lot of truth in that. It's not absolute truth, because the Word of God is still the Word of God, and God can meet with you and do a great work in your heart. But as far as a whole church is concerned, very often the church is the reflection of its preacher. And that was for us a very sobering truth. Paul says, the Lord's working in me in power. I know what I'm talking about. You see, in Paul's mind, there was that day in the Damascus Road when he was saved. That was a great day. But that was only a beginning. There were 3 years that Paul was alone with Christ in the greatest school the world has ever known, in the wilderness alone, being taught by the Savior. Paul grew in grace and in knowledge. He says, he's working in me. And this working in me is the wellspring of all my actions. He's working by me. This is the ingredient in Paul's ministry that I desperately need here, the Free Church desperately needs. And if you're going to be praying anything for the ministers this week, pray for this, that they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost, that I'll get that fullness of the Holy Ghost, that there will be preaching and living and witnessing and standing and evangelizing in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing. Paul says, this power works by me. It's God working by me in his mighty power. Do you remember what he told the Romans? He said, I am preaching to make the Gentiles obedient through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, that God would give us that. Do you remember what he said when he was talking to the Corinthians about their tongues? I'm not getting into what their tongues were. But he said, I would rather speak 5 words in the Holy Spirit than 10,000 words in your tongues. Your 10,000 words are just hot air. But listen, 5 words in the Spirit, not much. Not much at all. But God could move the world by those. It is said that R.A. Torrey, before he set out on his great world evangelistic mission, in which it is reckoned that in a 3-year period he saw 100,000 people come to Christ, it is said that Torrey said, give me 10 men full of the Holy Ghost and I will move the world. That's what we need. That's what I need, and that's what you need. Oh, that God today would do this with his own work, with his own power, to bring us to full maturity. So as we close, we learn 2 lessons very well. You and I, we can become mature Christians. You can become fully mature, but only by the experience of the mighty power of God working in us. We have Christ in us. There's no reason why we can't have his power. And then, of course, we can be used to bring others to Christ and see them mature. In other words, as a mature believer, you can bring others to the same thing, but only as you're filled with that Spirit of power. That's a great thing, you know. Because our usual excuse is, well, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not a good this, I can't do that, I'm not really very competent, blah, blah, I'm not, and it sounds like God has abdicated, but he hasn't. Whatever you are, whatever I am, as far as talent goes, just give us the power of God, and we can do the job. That's the encouragement. I trust indeed that we will, by the grace of God, through the labor of the gospel, be brought to be fully mature believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.